Well, we're going to be proceeding on the last of these messages about the commands of Yahshua. And I thought it would be good to review the commands we've already seen. So I'll just give the brief command. And these are, each one of them, a quotation from Yahshua the Messiah. Commands for a better life. Let not your heart be troubled. Rejoice in persecution. Do not commit adultery by lusting. Judge not, that you may not be judged. Love your enemies. Become perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Ask, seek, and knock. And then commands for our salvation. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Lay up treasures in heaven. Seek Yahweh's kingdom first. Choose the narrow way. Leads to life. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false teachings. Fear Yahweh. Do not fear man. Get rid of whatever causes you to sin. And the summary of commands for salvation is, you decide to obey and be part of Yahweh's family forever, or not. Relationships with other people. Love your neighbor. Do good to others. Keep your word. Go the second mile. Lead by being a servant. Love one another as I have loved you. You should wash one another's feet. Care for believers in distress. Go to believers who offend you. Forgive offending believers who repent. Be reconciled with your brother. Dispense spiritual power. And the summary of relationships with other people is, whatever you wish men to do to you, do so to them. And 12 commands about bearing fruit. Let your light shine. Pray for more workers to spread the word. Be wise and innocent. Do not despise little ones. That's those who are younger in the faith. Make the congregation a house of prayer for all nations. Bring in the poor. Feed my lambs. And that goes along with shepherd my sheep and feed my sheep. Go, make and immerse students. Teach the students to obey. Obey Yahweh's word. Be clothed with Yahweh's power. And Yahshua said, remain in me. Love one another as I have loved you, as Yahshua has loved us. And the summary of bearing fruit is, this is all about drawing in new believers and teaching them Yahweh's ways with love. Very demanding, very rewarding. And now to today's message. Commands of Yahshua the Messiah for congregations of believers. This is about the congregation. We've been looking into following Yahshua for the last three messages I've given. Yahshua has had some interesting things to say to us about the congregation. There were certainly congregations before Yahshua came. Jews had been getting together to read and discuss the scriptures, to build local meeting houses, to teach the children, and to socialize together. And those are good things. But Yahshua wanted to change the meaning of the congregation in some important ways. He intends the congregation of believers to be like the Jewish synagogue in many ways, but radically different in other ways. He talks about that in John 13:34, where he says, "A new commandment I give to you." He may have said, "I have something different that you really need to do. I've been careful to take time to establish a relationship of love with each of you. I do love you. My Father in heaven has shown me how to love by his own example as he loves me. I treasure the memory of each moment of my Father's loving teaching." We find an example in John 5 where Yahshua is talking to some Jewish leaders. It's in John 5:19. I had an address of 519 one time. 519 Southwest Street. But this is 519 John. "Then Yahshua answered and said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever things he does, these also the Son does in the same way. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whomever he desires.'" We do not have very many examples of personal interactions between Yahshua and the individual disciples, but I'm sure they did take place. We do see him washing their feet. We see him with Peter walking on the water and then seeing the waves and needing a little help. We see Peter denying Yahshua and falling asleep while he was supposed to be watching. And we see Zebedee's sons looking for future positions. And we see Judas getting ready to betray him. Now let's go back to that new command in John 13:34. "A new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my taught ones, my disciples, if you have love for one another." So when someone comes into a congregation, they're able to identify whether this congregation is or is not Yahshua's congregation. And to the extent that the members love one another, they will know that it is Yahshua's congregation. And I might mention that there are degrees of love in our congregations. Not everyone in every congregation loves completely as we should. We have to learn. It's something we have to learn. Newer members may not have learned everything they need to know about that yet. But the predominance, the thing that they should be learning in that congregation is to love one another. We'll learn more about that love in John 15. And we'll begin at the first verse of John 15. Yahshua says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already clean, pruned, because of the word which I have spoken to you. Stay in me, and I stay in you. As the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself unless it stays in the vine, so neither do you unless you stay in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, because without me, you are able to do nothing. If anyone does not stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And that's pretty serious. If you stay in me, and my words stay in you, and the words that Yahshua spoke, which I read the list at the beginning here, those are the words that he wants us to stay in us. So if you stay in me and my words stay in you, you shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. In this is my Father esteemed, that you bear much fruit, and you shall be my taught ones. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Stay in my love. Stay in Yahshua's love. He continues to love us today. And we feel that love as we read the scriptures, as we get to know more about Yahshua. Verse 10 of John 15. If you guard my commandments, you shall stay in my love, even as I have guarded my Father's commands and stay in his love. These words I have spoken to you, so that my joy might be in you. Why did he say these things? So that we could have joy. Hallelujah. And that your joy may be complete. Could you be joyful if folks in your group love you like Yahshua loves? I think so. Verse 12. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. So, Yahshua laid down his life for his friends. And who are those for whom Yahshua laid down his life? That's verse 14. Yahshua said, you are my friends if, that's the biggest two-letter word in the English language, if you do whatever I command you. And that has been the focus of these messages I've been giving, what Yahshua commands us. And doing those things leads to life. Hallelujah. What will it mean for us in this day to lay down our lives for those in the congregation? We've talked before about serving others with our time and our efforts, and by giving our life up to death if necessary. But let's think about a different way of giving our life. what could happen if I give up my life as I now live it and change to a new life, a new personality, a personality like Yahshua's? Paul talks about that as the new man in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, we'll begin at verse 1. He talks in Colossians 2 about immersion, baptism, being like Yahshua's immersion in death. Yahshua died and was raised again. We are buried in the water and raised again. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Messiah, seek the things which are above, where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of Elohim. Mind the things above, not those on the earth. For you have died, and your life has been hidden with Messiah in Elohim. And we haven't died physically yet, but if things are going well in our progression in this life, we have given up our past life, and that has been put away from us. Verse 4, when the Messiah, who is our life, is manifested, clearly seen, then you also shall be manifested with him in esteem. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, whoring, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and greed of gain, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of Elohim is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also walked once when you lived in them. But now also put off all these: displeasure, wrath, evil, blasphemy, filthy talk from your mouth. Do not lie to each other, since you have put off the old man with his practices and have put on the new one, who is renewed in knowledge according to the likeness of him who created him, where there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, foreigner, Scythian, slave, free, but Messiah is all and in all. Therefore, as chosen ones of Elohim, set apart and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Indeed, as Messiah forgave you, so also should you. But above all these, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. So when it comes to all the good things we should do, number one is love one another in the congregation. Verse 15 of Colossians 3, and let the peace of Elohim rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be filled with thanks. Let the word of Messiah, and the words of Messiah is what these messages have been all about. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing with pleasure in your hearts to the Master in psalms and songs of praise and spiritual songs. Well, let's get back to John 15. I love John 15. So let's get back to it. Going back to verse 15 is next. Yahshua said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all teachings which I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he might give you." And what would we ask the Father in Yahshua's name? It wouldn't be for physical things, the expensive car or some physical relationship that we might lust after. What we would ask the Father is, "Can I have a car that's good enough so that I can get around to see the brethren? Can I have a closer relationship with my brother or sister so that I can help them with some of the things that I know they need help with?" The things we should be asking for are the things that we need in order to do the work that he is asking us to do. Verse 17 of John 15. "These words I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Yahshua wasn't hated because he was ugly or black or whatever. He was hated because of what he taught. And what he taught was good truth, love. But those who were in power had some different ideas. And Yahshua didn't agree with those ideas. Verse 19, "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, for that reason, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they shall persecute you too. If they guarded my word, they would guard yours too." Because the disciples were going to be preaching the same thing Yahshua had preached. "But all this they shall do to you because of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin." Yahshua has explained what is right and what is wrong, what is clean and what is unclean, and they had different ideas. Verse 23, "He who hates me hates my Father as well." So you can't love Yahshua, truly know him, and hate the Father. "If I did not do among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have both seen and have hated both me and my Father." So Yahshua healed someone on Sabbath, and they hated that. It was against the rules. Not against Yahweh's rules, but against the rules that they had made up. So they hated Yahshua wrongly. And by doing that, they also hated the Father. "But that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their Torah, they hated me without cause." And when the Helper comes, which I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which comes from the Father, it shall bear witness of me. Now, another important scripture about the congregation is found in Ephesians 4. And that whole chapter is good to read about the congregation. But we're going to start in Ephesians 4:11. Paul writes, "And he," that's Yahshua himself, "gave some as emissaries or ambassadors, and some as prophets," those who preach Yahweh's truth, "and some as evangelists," who preach the good news, "and some as shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the set apart ones, to the work of service, to a building up of the body of the Messiah," that's his congregation. And some, Yahshua has given some elders for that purpose of building up the body. Verse 13, "until we all come to the unity of the belief and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim," Yahshua, "to a perfect man or person." Yes, when I talk about the perfect man or reading the scriptures about a new man, that does not exclude women. we certainly understand that the term man is inclusive of, maybe a person would be a better translation many times. "Until we come to unity of belief and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a perfect person, to the measure of the stature of the completeness of Messiah." And we should be growing. I mean, I'm up to this height at the moment. I used to be a little taller, but I'm trying to grow in my spiritual stature so that I can be the same stature as the one I'm imitating, the one I'm following, Yahshua, the Messiah. And we should all be working to achieve that stature so that when someone looks at us, he's able to see Yahshua in our personality. Of course, we won't look like Yahshua looked like. We have no photographs of Yahshua. They've all been lost somewhere, as are all the voice recordings of what he said. But there's enough evidence in the scripture so that when someone has the character of Yahshua, it's possible to see that. And we are striving to have that character. "So that we should no longer be children tossed and borne about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men in cleverness unto the craftiness of leading astray, but maintaining the truth in love, we grow up in all respects into him who is the head, Messiah, from whom the entire body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies," and that's us, the joints, and not like a gin joint, but like a joint that moves the body, "according to the working by which each part," you and me, "does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself, the body in love. So this I say and witness in the Master, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having been darkened in their understanding, having been estranged from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, who, having become callous, having given themselves to indecency, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Messiah, if indeed you have heard him and were taught by him through the word, as truth is in Yahshua. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That you put off with regard to your former way of life, the old man or woman, as the case may be, being corrupted according to the desires of the deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new person, which was created according to Elohim in righteousness and set apartness in truth. When we accept the Messiah and are immersed, we begin a journey from where we used to be as slaves to sin to a new place. As we come up out of the water, we need to be reborn as a different person than the one who was immersed. This new existence needs to be based on learning who and what the Messiah is, how he thinks and acts, what he believes, how he interacts with others, what he wears, eats, and drinks. We need to know all these things because it is our goal to grow up to being like Yahshua was when he was here as a man. This is the reason for the congregation as Yahshua intended it to be, a school for those who strive to follow in his steps. In chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, Yahshua speaks to seven congregations, which are all in what is now eastern Turkey. It's about 600 miles northwest of Jerusalem. It will be good to read chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation to get the background setting for these commands, and we're going to do that. These congregations have been given identities by scholars through the ages. Some say that they are seven historical ages of Yahshua's congregations, and some have other ideas. It seems to me that the safest approach for us to take is to understand Yahshua's commands and assume that each of these seven types represents seven types of congregations, each of which has its own personality. It could be that a single congregation passes through many, but not necessarily all of these types. We might try to identify personalities, which personalities may fit our own congregation at this moment, or you and me, as we are today, and try to extract from Yahshua's words whatever we can learn. He does say, repeatedly, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. Not just one congregation. A lot of people like to point to Philadelphia and say, boy, that's us. But they're missing learning from what Yahshua had to say to the other six congregations. Along with the commands come the rewards, which seem to be linked to the commands for those who overcome. We'll see Yahshua correcting, instructing, and gifting his bride, the congregation. When a woman gets married, she changes her role in life. I've often seen that married couples seem to get more like each other as time goes on. Also, the woman usually takes on the role of hostess when they have guests and often gets to be the one preparing the refreshments. We, as the bride of Messiah, may have to take on some new roles. Yahshua outlined some of these roles to Peter in John 21, verses 15 to 17. This study may be used as an exercise that can heal things that may be lacking in us as a group. Of course, a group is made up of individuals. So it is in each of us that action is needed for any improvement. In the leaders, most of all. To the extent that any leader may not be already perfect. I know I am not. Let's get past any hurt feelings and concentrate on moving forward together to where Yahshua wants us to be as a congregation, as his bride. I feel it is productive to note action items. Those are things I've seen for me to do. Sometimes I put them into a to-do list. We all probably have a to-do list, at least up in our minds, if not on paper. This study can be used to generate items for each of us to do. As we share our to-do list items, it may help someone else in their walk. We should look upon action items as positive steps we are taking toward pleasing Yahweh more. So what are Yahshua's commands for congregations? The first command for all congregations is in John 13:34. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the only thing he said that he says, now this is a command. I'm giving you a new command, something new that you must do. But I'd like to take anything he said and said, do this as a command, just to be on the safe side. So let's look at these commandments for the congregations. Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7, is the congregation at Ephesus. It says, Yahshua says, you have left your first love. And in verse 2:5, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I shall come to you speedily and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. The command is to turn back from having left our first love. Now, this is not the first love experience in our life, but rather the love we experienced when we first loved Yahshua. Yahshua says this congregation can return to that point in their love. Our first love was enthusiastic. We wanted to tell everyone what we had learned, especially those we loved most. We wanted to tell them. We knew they needed to know this. The first works we did may have been to participate in some congregation effort to bring other people to Yahweh. Have we left that program? Could we revive it or do something else even better? Can we overcome lethargy and actually do it? Maybe. Verse 7 of Revelation 2, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To him who overcomes, I shall give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Elohim. The congregation at Smyrna is found in Revelation 2, verses 8 through 11. It talks about trials and poverty. And in verse 10, Yahshua says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. See, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison in order to try you, and you shall have pressure 10 days. Be trustworthy until death, and I shall give you the crown of life." The command is to be trustworthy, to remain true to Yahweh's ways, even if it means we will die. Certainly not easy to do. How hard it must have been for Yahshua to assign such a painful path for us. There must have been no other way. Can we see threats coming our way? Persecution? Poverty? What can we do to prepare? Some have suggested we should build more trust in Yahweh, pray more, become more forgiving, and be careful not to submit to fear. In verse 11, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. He who overcomes shall by no means be harmed by the second death." Brings us to the congregation at Pergamos, Revelation 2, verses 12 to 17. Yahshua talks about the teaching of Balaam and the Nicolaitans, which teaching I hate, he says. Revelation 2:16 says, "Repent, or else I shall come to you speedily and fight against them with the sword of my mouth," those who have those teachings. The command is to stay with the true teachings rather than to be swayed by those who would have us leave Abba Yahweh or believe that good leaders are rude bosses rather than humble servants. We need not over-governing, but more love one anothering. Do we tend to follow the world? Are our leaders humble before Yahweh? What can we do to correct bad or marginal behavior in our midst? And that the answer to that is in Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. It's a good idea to review that. Leviticus 19, 17 and 18. And in Revelation 2:17, Yahshua says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To him who overcomes, I shall give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I shall give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." Manna is interesting. If you collected manna on Thursday, and you had to use it on Thursday because Friday morning it would have worms in it and stinky. But if you collected manna on Friday, then you could keep it overnight because you couldn't collect it on Sabbath. There wasn't any. And it'd be just fine on Sabbath. And if you put it in the box.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Thank you. Sometimes my brain doesn't always work the way it used to. If you put it in the Ark of the Covenant as commanded, it would keep forever. Amazing stuff, manna. And Yahshua's going to give us a white stone, and on the stone a name which no one knows except him who receives it. Now to the congregation at Thyatira, Revelation 2, verses 18 to 28, talks about the Jezebel attitude in a portion of the congregation who will be killed. Okay, to the rest, Yahshua says in Revelation 2, 25, but hold fast what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and guards my works, that's the works Yahshua said for us to do, until the end, to him I shall give authority over the nations, and he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessels shall be broken to pieces, as I also have received from my Father, and I shall give him the morning star. I looked that up on the internet, and it said, probably talking about the planet Venus. What am I going to do with the planet? I don't know. Okay, verse 26 of Revelation 2, from the Good News Bible, those who win the victory will continue to the end to do what I want. I will give the same authority that I received from my Father. I will give them authority over the nations, to rule them with a rod of iron and to break them to pieces like clay pots. I will also give them the morning star, a bright planet, especially Venus, when visible in the east before sunrise. And I guess that's better than having a star. I mean, we couldn't even go near the sun, which is a star. Brings us to the congregation at Sardis. Revelation 3, beginning at verse 1 to 6. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Verse 2, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete before Elohim. Remember then how you have received and heard, and watch and repent. If then you do not wake up, I shall come upon you as a thief, and you shall not know at all what hour I will come to you. The command is to wake up from your near-death state. We should ask Yahshua to awaken us to get to work. Verse 5, he who overcomes shall be dressed in white robes, and I shall by no means blot out his name from the book of life, but I shall confess his name before my Father and before his messengers. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. Where have I heard that before? Next is the congregation at Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's what Philadelphia means. It's in Revelation 3, 7 to 13. Talks about the open door. You have guarded my word of endurance. And in verse 11, Yahshua says, see, I am coming speedily. Hold what you have, that no one takes your crown. This is the only congregation of the seven that gets no criticism. The command is to hold on to the ways you have. Can we remind ourselves of what good things we have and hold on to them? And next comes the congregation at Laodicea, verses Revelation 3, 14 to 22. Lukewarm, wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Read in verse 3:18, I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you become rich, and white garments so that you become dressed, so that the shame of your nakedness might not be shown, and anoint your eyes with ointment so that you see. As many as I love, I reprove and discipline like a good father. So be ardent and repent. This congregation is worse off than those who are near dead. These folks think they are doing fine when they are so pitiable. The command is to invite Yahshua to give them the help they desperately need. A closer relationship with Yahshua will be built through prayer and repentance. Yahshua pointed out that he came for sinners rather than righteous ones. Therefore, our task includes understanding that we are indeed sinners. Otherwise, Yahshua would not have called us. He mentions that I have come to call sinners to repentance, not to call the righteous. In 21st century America, most of us are bound to be in the category of rich, at least so far as the middle of 2021. Verse 20, see, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I shall come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I shall give to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. We need to learn to hear the voice of our shepherd. As Yahshua explained in John 10:14, those who are mine know me. And the voice of Yahshua says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To him who overcomes, I shall give this and I shall give that. I shall give wonderful things. So, what can we say in summary? One message that is very strong in these chapters is that all Yahshua's followers are expected to overcome. Every congregation is enjoined to overcome. That means to subdue, literally or figuratively, to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. What do we need to overcome? In John 16:33, Yahshua says, I have overcome the world. That is, at least part of the world. You might think about parts like New York, Hollywood, Nashville. Maybe that part of the world. 1 John 4:4, the apostle writes, you are of Elohim, little children, and have overcome them, the spirits of Antimessiah, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. With Yahshua's help, we have the ability to succeed, to overcome. The fruits of overcoming, which we have seen here, are certainly great, are they not? We are planning to review these scriptures together and ask which of these commands we could apply to our congregation in our Bible study a week from today at noon. And that's not going to be broadcast, is it? Pardon? I mean that Bible study is not
recording it.
Okay, well, so come to Kingdom City and be here in person. So we're planning to review how these passages apply to our congregation and how we can then listen and pray together. The time is right. And we're hoping for some fruitful discussions in that Bible study next Sabbath at noon, Central Time, for those of you who are flying in from other time zones. This completes our study of Yahshua's commands and following Yahshua. It has ended up being much more rewarding than I expected. I'm very impressed by the usefulness and great value of Yahshua's design for our private life, our relationship with other people, and as many hints for good relationships with the Father and with himself. The prescriptions for bearing fruit for Yahweh's kingdom, are truly priceless. Bearing fruit seems to be a key to our salvation. We're commanded to love one another as Yahshua has loved us. This study makes it clear that matching Yahshua's love is a very tall order to fill. May Yahweh bless you and your family and your congregation with a strong love for truth, love for one another, and safety in times of trial. And I'd like to leave you with a quotation from Deuteronomy 30, verses 16 and 17. See, I have set before you today life and good, and that I am commanding you today to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to grant his commands, guard his commands, and his laws, and his right rulings, and you shall live and increase, and Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you. Brothers and sisters, please pray that believers will be encouraged to follow Yahshua, and that he will grant us the humility and strength to do that. May Yahweh be with you.